Hey, and welcome back to the Nerdy Business Podcast. We are back once again, and this time I think this is a topic that some of you would really appreciate because you run these things, or you have clients that run these things, or you're thinking about running these things. And what I'm talking about are webinars, okay? You know, the webinar funnel, some of you who've been in the internet marketing space or the coaching space might have heard of them, know a little bit about them or a lot about them. And so this episode and maybe the next couple are dedicated to just, you know, talking about this topic. Because webinars could be very profitable. They can be. I have clients that run them every week. I have some that just run them, you know, every quarter that they're about to do a launch because they're so profitable and they've been running webinars for years. And they can be great tools. A lot of work goes into putting those things together and trying to get it right, you know, to help you sell and convert. And then you're constantly tweaking, you know, that's just the nature of that beast, you know, using a webinar funnel. But it's also a great way to create extra content for those of you at larger organizations where you run webinars, not for necessarily a purpose of directly selling people, but as in marketing content and indirect selling tool as well. But we got to talk about some things, and this is specifically for those who run webinars in order to sell people into buying their course or their coaching program. Because those folks, if you're on Facebook or if you're on YouTube, or which most of us do watch YouTube in some capacity, you've probably seen an ad that's trying to get you into a webinar to listen about, you know, learning about whatever it is they're trying to sell you. But here's the thing. And those who run them, you know, webinars can be expensive. In fact, running them long term is an expensive endeavor because you have to get your traffic. You know, you have to make sure your tech is set up, which is not as difficult as it used to be a few years ago. But you're always tweaking. So it's not like you make the webinar once and that's it. For some people it is. They have those ever green webinars. But then there are people who have webinars where they change it like every couple of weeks, trying to, you know, get the conversion right. So, and in that case, you know, you want to always find ways to plug up the holes. How can I make more money from this thing, which is my primary sales tool? And so we're going to be talking one aspect of that on this one. I think this is probably a topic we'll talk about a few episodes on this podcast because a lot of you do use them. And a lot of you could be doing things to get more bang for your buck for the traffic you're spending or the work you're putting into your webinar to keep it converting for you. So one place to address is what happens after the webinar. Now, for some of you, the webinar is going to lead directly into a booking page, so that the person can speak to you or to a member of your sales team if you do have closers in your company. Now, not everybody has that. So if you don't have that, don't worry. I'll get to that in a few. You know, stay with me. But for some people, they have closers or they are the closer. And so for their webinar, they talk, you know, bring their points, engagement, hopefully. And then they direct people to book a call with them or with a member of their sales team. And this seems right and good because now it's about, hey, how much can I close? How much can my closer close? Right? That's what it's about. So if you want to make more money, you figure I got to get more people on this webinar because if I get more people on this webinar to watch this thing, to interact with me if it's a live webinar, then I can get more people booking into the calendar with me or with the salesperson, and then we can work from there. Or you learn how to sell better, close better, right? Those are the two main things there. That's the main logic of it. However, we're not addressing something. And that is, there are people who are really engaged in this webinar, are thinking about maybe joining your program, your coaching, but they do not pull the trigger on booking the call to talk to you. They don't. Because they know it's a sales call. They know you're there to sell them. They're not sure about you yet. There's something you haven't addressed. And here's the thing. You don't even know what you haven't really addressed for them individually, for them not to want to book that call, because the call is a sales call. Someone is going to be qualified and someone's going to be disqualified. And the person who is qualified is going to be further pitched into a program. That's how it works. And they know this. They're like, oh, they're going to sell me something. I just want this one little bit of information, this one question. I don't necessarily want to block out time on a call. And so you got a lot of those people who are fence sitters. They don't turn around and book. And that happens often. So the thing is, very few people who are running these things keep track of how many fence sitters you have. If I go into your system and I say, hey, well, how many fence sitters do you have? They're like, I don't know. Or they're like, oh, I got 200. I said, you have 200 fence sitters. How did you come up with that number? Well, that's how many people registered for the webinar. No, baby. That's not what I mean by a fence sitter. A fence sitter is a person who is interested in potentially buying, wants to know more, but does not go forward, but they're not out yet. They are interested enough. They go to the webinar. They sit on that webinar for most of it, if not all of it. And they do not take the action to make the purchase. Because once again, not everybody here is using a system where you have to book a call to be closed, right? Some of you are running to a sales page. Some of you are running directly to an order form. So just keeping all of that goodness in mind. A fence sitter is someone who's straddling the fence. They showed up to the webinar. Your webinar was an hour. They sat through the hour. They sat through the entire hour. But they didn't book the call with you because that's your webinar, right? That's your sales process for your webinar. They're fence sitters. They showed up. They registered and they showed up. They stayed. They might have even participated. They just didn't take the action. Now take a step further. Your fence sitters that have gone to the booking page, whatever you're using, but have not booked. They're almost off the fence. And you leave those people where they are because you're not tracking them. And that might be difficult to track. Like in some systems, it's hard for you to tell who did what. But those are your fence sitters, the people who show up to the webinar. They might have even participated a few times if you had that type of webinar. They stayed through almost all or the entire webinar, really. And they even went to the sales page and said, something is holding them back, something is not addressed, and they didn't. You can simply increase the amount of ROI you get on this thing that you have built just by going after the fence sitters, just by going after people who went to the webinar and stayed and gone to a landing page that was the order form, or maybe it was the sales page, or gone to the booking form to talk to whoever's the salesperson. Those people who you can count, oh, they went to the sales page, oh, they went to the order form, oh, they went to book, but didn't complete the form. Those people are your fence sitters. If you did nothing but plug up that hole, you can have a wonderful amount of sales coming in from all the money you spent on traffic alone. We got clients that have had a 20 to 30% jump in sales just by fixing that part of it. Just by fixing that part of it. No extra money on ads or anything like that. We didn't write another email sequence that goes before the webinar to get them there, or another 2-day, 3-5-day email sequence they went after and talking about, oh, the card is about to close. Oh, we're about to stop taking seats. We got one more seat left. Without even doing that, you've already led yourself to an increase of up to 30 to 40% at times. So remember when I said in the beginning, I'm going to mention the folks who do the closing at the end, because some people's webinars is a, you know, you're booking to talk to a salesperson. And now let's get to the people who are probably the easiest to track who've already mentioned, which are the folks who send people to an order form. And in some cases, to the sales page. You know, some people do that. I've seen people send people to a 15-page sale page after you got them sitting through a 2-hour webinar. Why you do that, I do not know. You're going to lose some people. That's just a side note. I'm like, you're sending people to a 15-20-page sale page where the order form's all, where they have to go through, read the sales page, click the button to be then taken to an order form. You know, maybe if you want extra, now if you want to put more, depending on what you're selling, just this is a side note, sidebar thing. Depending on what you're selling, if you're selling something that's it's very high ticket and maybe it's for some type of investment, you know, my real estate folks who use webinars, and you're like, I got to make sure these people are extra, extra qualified, you know, because you got so many compliance issues to go through. Yeah, I can understand that because, hell, even if you have people who are really excited, but then they go to that sales page and decide they can't read, those who do read and get to the next part are super, super qualified because they went through all that. And maybe that's what you want just because you're in one of those situations where you don't want to deal with people who are going to pay and then bounce after like a few weeks or so, you know, or deal with massive amounts of refunds. This is different for everybody. I just have to put that sidebar in there. You know, sometimes I don't know why you do it. Then I think about it. Yeah. For those of you running webinars to that type of stuff, just to protect yourselves, or, you know, you just don't want to deal with certain people, fine. The more barriers of entry you put to people being able to buy your thing, the less people will buy your thing. However, within saying that, the ability to just go after your fence sitters alone, even if you had that set up where you're going to send them to a 15-page sales letter where they have to click a button to get to an order form, right? Because you're qualifying them again, right? If you just got those people who went to that sales page because you can track, like, oh, okay, I know XYZ went here, and you just set it up that they had one-on-one outreach in which someone from your team, or you hired someone who knew how to handle those types of folks, because fence sitters are different. They're not your normal, you know, prospects. They're not your normal leads. You got to deal with them a bit differently in order to really qualify them and get them to convert those who need to convert. If you're doing things right and you have that plugged up, you're probably doing very well and smiling. Like, yeah, I know what Lauren's talking about because I got that in mind and mine's doing well. But most of you listening will not have this plugged up. Whether after the webinar you send them directly to an order page or a sales page that will then go to an order page, or you send them to a salesperson, there's a group of people who there's this one question or two questions and they need reassurance. And because you don't know what that is for, let's say you have a webinar that had 300 people show up and you had 25 sales off that webinar, but then you discover going through your analytics that, hey, I got, you know, I still got another 100 people who stayed through the whole thing. I only got 25 sales. So there's 75 people. Let's see what else. Okay, they're kind of fence sitters. All right. Let's see who's really, really fence-sitted, really, really interested. And then you look and like, oh, these people bounced on my sales page. Hey, out of that 75, you know, out of that, you know, 75 who did it, 50 of them were actually went to the sales page. 50 of them went to the order form. 50 of them went to the booking page to talk to somebody. 50 people. So even though you got 25 people who just bought, there's still potential to convert some of those 50 people. Now imagine if you had a back-end webinar sales saver system in place in which someone individually went after those 50 people and understood that they were fence-sitters and understood the psychology and was very empathetic and was able to turn around and talk to people, talk to those 50, dealing with them on a more one-on-one basis, not a broad email broadcast, but a one-on-one basis. And it was able, within a few days, to add another 10 plus people into your program. And imagine if you had a weekly webinar, you're adding 10 plus, and you haven't spent another $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in ad spend to do it. So if you have a $5,000 program and you have a back end sales saving system in the back of it, you're earning an additional $50,000 in sales a week if you're running a weekly webinar, and those are the numbers. Imagine you were able to do that. Because very few people think of doing that. And they have very profitable webinars. And they spend a lot of money on traffic every month. And they collect a lot of leads. But yet, they can't figure out how to increase their webinar sales without spending a whole lot of money just on ads. Because that's what people tell you. Oh, spend some more money on ads. Get some more leads in. We'll go to that. You know, oh, but let's rewrite an email sequence here, get more people on the webinar, because we get more people on the webinar, that's exactly how we're going to do this. That's typically how they tell you to think. That's typically how it all goes. What I'm suggesting is let's plug up this leaky webinar from the back. It's leaking from the back. You have all these people sitting on the fence. They've sat through the webinar. They've gone to the booking page. If that's your setup, they've gone to the sales page. If that's your setup, they've gone to the order form. If that's your setup, they're getting the email blast after. And if they still have these burning questions. And if you did the one-on-one outreach with somebody who was trained to do it, because they have to be trained. This is not the same thing as having someone as a front-end closer for you, who could reach out individually, be full of empathy, understand the psychology of what goes on in these people's minds. You can easily plug up that leak in the back end and increase your ROI. That's something that anybody running a webinar should really seriously consider. Because it's easy to spend more money on ads. It's harder to find people who are trained to do what I just described, who can take the time to do it. That's harder. To be honest with you, it is harder. But if you're able to turn around and do that, you can see these increases. So that when you do decide to spend more money on the front end, on the ads to get people in, you know that you're not leaking a whole lot of money in the back. And that's what I wanted to make sure I talked about in this episode, because I see this from client to client to client to webinar sales to webinar sales all over the place. I'm like, you know, why don't you just put this in the back and let it go? I mean, I love these sorts of systems and things and implementing them and putting them in for my clients and stuff, but I see so many who just don't have it. And I don't know why. I don't know why. But it's something to seriously consider if you have clients. Hey, you might want to do this. You might want to listen to this podcast episode, you know? Or maybe you're a business owner and listen to this podcast. I was like, wait a minute, I could use that. I could use this thing that she talked about, just saving the sales and the end plugging in. I hope so, because because some of you have really great programs out there. You're trying to help some good people. I see more people selling good stuff with webinars, whether it's a mindset coaching or it's selling someone on the opportunity to start a business to build their retirements back up. Then I see snake sales oilmen and out there. Because I remember them times when people was like using webinars to do that, but I see a lot more legitimate things and bigger companies using webinars as a better way of selling and positioning themselves and giving people, opening the kimono so that people can see how this thing works. Because it could be software and how the software works and how it's going to work. And I've also seen it for people selling therapies. So if you're going to spend this time constructing these webinars to be what it has to be, doesn't it make sense to make sure that you can plug up the leak in the back end for those who just need that one or two questions answered by someone and having that one-on-one attention that they really deserve? Well, that's my opinion anyway. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Nerdy Business Podcast. I am your host, Lauren Hazel. If you want to find out more, get on my calendar because what I talked about was interesting to you, you can go to Wolfpack Leads. That's LEADS.com. You can jump on my calendar there and we can talk about this episode, or maybe you want me to take a look at your webinar. I don't know, but that's where you go to find me. You can find me in all, not all, but some of the social media platforms. You find me on LinkedIn, you can find me on Twitter, and of course on the Book of Face, Facebook. Until next time, this is Lauren Hazel with the Nerdy Business Podcast.